Amen to that. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm sorry about your 1 hour change, and I hope that you are all together here this morning. For those who may still be just getting out of bed, we bid you good morning from the internet. Might be a lot of people listening to this one on the web, but that's okay. But we thank you guys for joining us, whether you're listening in on the web, on the app, or whether you're here today. Thank you so much. If you're in need of an outline, you can raise your hand. Ushers be happy to assist you. You can also download the CLC South Bend app, and you can follow along on the Discernment Notes tab, available both in English and in Spanish. We're shifting gears a little bit today from what we've been discussing over the last few weeks, but we are still talking about the antidote, and that's referring to thanksgiving and praise. I don't know if this has this been a blessing to anybody. And so we're still talking about that today, just from a different perspective. And we've been discussing how these two, thanksgiving and praise, how they function as an antidote against bitterness and jealousy, the disease of bitterness and jealousy. And the difficulty of giving God thanks and praise, of course, comes when we face difficult situations. Anybody testify to that? You know, it's difficult to give God thanks and praise when we're facing difficulties, trying circumstances and challenges and so forth, you know, tests and trials, hardships, heartaches, all those kinds of things. And yet these are actually the times where it's most important to give thanks and praise to God, even though it's the most difficult time to do so. But giving thanks and praise to God in the midst of hard times helps to keep our hearts heavenward, pointed towards heaven. And it produces an atmosphere that helps to put us in the presence of God. And it helps to give our hearts a sense of contentment and peace with where things are. And it helps to keep our minds stayed on Christ, which helps to keep us in perfect peace so we can avoid things like bitterness and jealousy from taking root in our hearts. But when we face those difficult situations, when it's hard to give God thanks and praise, and it's hard to focus on God, I believe there's an important aspect that we haven't talked about yet that we're going to talk about today that helps us to get over that. And that is the subject of faith. Amen. Faith. Amen. Yeah, we hardly talk about faith, even though it's a very vital part of our walk with God. When we first started talking about thanksgiving and praise being this antidote against bitterness and jealousy, one of the things that we mentioned is that it's important to remember that God owns it all. Okay, God owns it all. It's all His. And when we let that settle into our mind, we realize that God doesn't owe us anything. Okay, He's gracious enough to give us what we do have. And that makes it a little bit easier to overcome the bitterness that can set in when we have disappointed expectations or unmet expectations. And it helps us to avoid the jealousy that comes from comparing our lives to other people. We also mentioned that it's important to remember that God is good. Amen. How many of you know that God is good? He is good. And God is good. And when difficulties arise, it's difficult for us to believe that God is good, because we see hardships, we see difficulties, we see insurmountable situations which are insurmountable in our estimation. And then we look and we see other people and like, man, it looks like they're just flowing in blessing. And I've been praying for God to change this in my life for years and years, but it doesn't seem to be happening. How do I believe in that moment that God is good? And if I can't believe in that moment that God is good, how do I reach for the antidote of thanks and praise when I can't even believe that God is good? I don't even feel like I have anything to thank Him for. And see, if I get to that place, if I'm not careful, that's when bitterness starts to set in. And I start to grow distant from God, you know, and I start to kind of uproot myself from the Lord, and my life begins to wither in that way. And so what I want to talk about today, I want to really stir up our faith, because I believe faith is a bridge that helps us to get over those difficult situations and helps to get us to that place of thanksgiving and praise that helps us to overcome bitterness and jealousy. And so in doing so, I want to go ahead and start at what I believe is probably the most popular scripture that I know of anyway, as it pertains to talking about faith. And so I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 11, which, by the way, is an amazing chapter to read when you're talking about faith. If you ever need your faith built up, go straight to Hebrews 11. Just read the whole thing. You won't want to stop reading it. It's filled with so much faith, and it will build your faith in such an incredible way. But we're just going to read verses 1 and 6. We're going to skip right to verse 6 after we read verse 1. So here's verse 1 for you. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Did my wife just say that earlier today? I think so. Come on, flowing in the spirit. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. One of the first things I want to make mention of is that faith is real stuff. Okay, it's real substance. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, if we don't kind of sneak back into in between 1 and 6, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, what we see in front of us, what we can see, handle, and touch, existed in first in a place that we could not see, handle, or touch. You understand that? Now, you're probably wondering what's going on up here on the stage. What we eventually see in the natural with our natural eyes, and what we can perceive with our natural senses, first began in the unseen world. So when we talk about faith, we're not talking about wanting something so bad that I'm so willing to do anything for it, and I'm so willing to do, you know, we're not conjuring up something. What we're really doing, what faith is really doing, is it's getting a sense of something that already exists, just not in the realm of our natural senses. So if I take this water bottle here, And I place it here, right here. This side represents the realm of the spirit. Now, from this side, you can't see this, but it's here, even though you can't see it. It's already here. You're not on this side of the spirit world in the natural, trying to conjure up a life for yourself, trying to imagine something that might, could possibly be. No, the life God has for you already exists over here. The key is, how do I get this life from here to here so that I can now see it, so that I can now see what was formed here in the unseen realm into this place of what is seen. Put this back over here. So it's important to understand that faith isn't just me making up something and then believing really hard to try to make it happen. No, what's germinating in your spirit as faith is rumbling in you, because there's an unseen world trying to get what's over here into here. And faith in you is something that's alerting you to what's actually over here. That's why when you believe and you have faith, you do crazy stuff. And people don't understand, why are you doing that? Because something in you that they can't see, but you see with the eyes of faith, that's over here on this side, is activating in you, and it's urging you to pull it into the seen realm. That's why there are certain things that speak to your life and certain things that don't. Because the things that don't, don't exist over here. So me going to the NBA, and up in front of a... But me standing up in front of a group of people preaching the word of God, somehow, when I looked in the eyes of faith, I found that. Really. I had no idea. I was on my way to being an accountant somewhere. But something of faith started rumbling in me, and not because I wanted to make up something. So then in James 2 and 17, we can go there. It says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. So when this starts rumbling and churning in me, that it's something over here that's calling to me. I don't know what it is, but I just feel like I need to go to Bible school. Yeah, I know I'm a big time executive or whatever, but for some reason, something over here is calling me to this. I can't figure it out. I don't understand why, but it already exists here. And inside of you, it's making some kind of rumbling of faith that says, I don't know why I got to leave this thing and gravitate to this. But this is what's over here. This is what has my name on it to bring it over into here. I can't see it now. I don't even know how that's going to happen. But even when I feel this rumbling, I've got to now hear the call of God to say, okay, well, I sense this and I believe it. So if you read in James, you know, a few verses earlier, it talks about, hey, you show me your works or your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And then he goes on to say, even the demons believe and tremble. So there's a slight difference between believing and actually having faith. Believing means I'm convinced of something in here. But if it's going to be faith, there's going to be a call to what I believe, and there's going to be a step towards it. And so when I take that step towards it, it activates my faith, which activates something in the spirit realm that all of a sudden starts to turn this into this. And it starts coming to pass. It starts to happen. So let's take Doug for an example. I graduated with a degree in finance. My plan was to just have something that could provide a job that would be reasonable enough so that I could survive in this world. Nothing of my plan had anything to do with what I'm doing right now at this very moment. Nothing. I say nothing. Zero. Nada. Not one iota of my life's plan was aimed at becoming a pastor. But something got stirring here to the point where I interviewed for an accounts receivable position, University Park, Illinois. I interviewed for that position. Some of you may have heard me say this. And they asked me the infamous question, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I told this woman, who I'm trying to get a job with for the next however many years, I'm telling this woman, I think I'm going to be preaching. I think I'm going to be a minister of some sort. Can I have this job? Something was already a-stirring, even though my life plan had no clue. And sure enough, Less than 2 years later, I get an offer to become Congregational Care Director, Christian Life Center in Tinley Park, Illinois. From there, my wife and I became campus pastors, and from there, we became campus pastors here, and from there, we became senior pastors here. Look at God. You should clap right there. Amen. Yeah. So right now, my life is at peace because I feel like my life's decisions have now intersected with God's plan that I could not see in this world. But with every step that I took, all of a sudden, that became this. And I could all of a sudden see it. I could all of a sudden see what God had planned. Now, that goes for all of our lives. And some of you might this might be helping you to understand why you've been running into so many difficulties with what your life's plan was or has been or whatever. So there's an unseen world that's already in existence. We're not trying to put it together on this side. In fact, the world that was over there is actually what put us together. And I don't mean just you, me. I'm talking about actually stitch my legs to my ankles, to my hips. It actually is what shaped and formed me. God saw me here in full 6 foot, 200 pounds before the world ever knew the name Doug Neal. So there's a plan that God has for you that fully exists, that faith is trying to get you to connect with, to pull it from there to over here. So we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. So let me give you the first point for today. So that we're not trying to fulfill some make-believe plan or self-design some life that we think ought to be good for us, that we think we might enjoy. Here's what we need to do instead. Number one, let faith drive. Amen. Because we talk about emotions driving a lot around here, don't we? Emotions can ride. It can't drive. You can work the radio, but you can't have a steering wheel. Faith has got to drive. Emotions can be so convincing that we mistake them for truth. We can feel something so passionately and want something so badly that we mistake it for what is absolute truth. Now, I don't have a whole lot of examples about that, but I can tell you my life took a very interesting turn when it came to becoming a pastor, because I just never saw it. It was something that, I don't know, I didn't have anything necessarily against it. I just didn't believe it was for me. I didn't understand the realm of pastor. I could understand going to work from 9 to 5. I could understand that. I saw my dad do that. I saw my mom do that. I could understand that. They weren't pastors, but I could relate to that. That made sense to me. But I couldn't understand what pastors did. I don't really know if I still know. Still trying to figure it out. But I let faith drive. I can't let emotions drive, because emotions, they're here today and gone tomorrow. They're here today, and they're all flared up whenever I'm disappointed, or whenever I don't get my way, or whenever I see something that I want And for some reason, life just won't let me get it. It's almost like God is throwing all kinds of roadblocks to say, nope, that's not what I called you to. Nope, that's not what I want you to be. Nope, that's not what's over here for you. I know that looks good when such and so does it. And I know you think you can do it better than they can. But that's not what your name is on over here. That's why this isn't working for you. Amen. So let faith drive. Don't let emotions drive. Can I tell you something else? Don't let experience drive. Woo-wee. When it comes to this church, and it comes to my wife and I pastoring this church, what we see happening here is like nothing we've seen in all of our years of being pastors. We went from being youth pastors at one church, elders, and then congregational care directors, and then campus pastors at another church. Then we became campus pastors connected with that church, and then we became independent from that church, and now we senior pastor this church. And for all of our experience, what we see God doing here is like nothing we've seen anywhere. And if we relent to the temptation to make things look like what we've seen, we will then interrupt God's plan, and we will have a whole lot of that other stuff. God's saying, nope, not that, nope, not that. It'll be a whole lot of interference, and we'll keep doing this thing where we're trying to go forward, but God is interrupting our path because he's trying to get this thing to go where he wants it to go. And it's like, no, God, I like, this is what we used to do 10 years ago. Let me do this because I know this, I understand this. Like God said, nope, I am doing a new thing in you. And if it's going to be new, then guess what? It means it's something you've never seen before. It means it's going to be something like what you've never experienced. So you can't let your experience drive because it will interrupt what I'm doing. My wife made mention to yet another scripture that I was meaning to make reference to. That's pretty good. But Jeremiah 33:3 says, listen, call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. That means stuff you haven't seen before. Some awesome things that you haven't seen before. If you'll let me. If you can just have enough faith to believe that what I have over here is actually going to be better than what you're trying to put together over here. But see, in order to make this work right, you got to let me be in control. We don't like all that. We want to drive. We want, what's this third one here? We want reason to drive. You can write that in too. We want our logic to drive. What I can understand, what I can control, what I can wrap my mind around. And God's doing things that you can't wrap your mind around. I don't know how God did that. But all I did was when God said, do this, I did it. And that was the obedient work. And I want to make sure you understand the distinction between faith without works. When I talk about faith without works, I'm not talking about works of the law. I'm talking about the obedient work that God calls you to that you don't necessarily see written in the scriptures, but you know it's obedience to him. Because there's no verse that says, Doug, thou shalt be a pastor. There's no verse for that. But there's a verse that says that faith without work is dead, and my walk is by faith and not by what I see and understand and can reason. So in my emotion, my emotion is more connected to my flesh than it is than it is to God. Whereas my spirit, where faith resides, is more connected to God, is more aimed at what God wants than what I want. That's why in Galatians 5:17, it says the flesh wars against the spirit. So there's a war going on in me that says faith wants to take what's over here and bring it here. But flesh just wants to be in control and doesn't really want to be bothered with what's over here because we can't see this. We can't understand this. We can't control this. This might turn us into something we don't necessarily want to be. This might not make me a millionaire. This might not make me famous. This might not make me popular. In fact, this might just be flat out hard. But what's really hard is not so much that this is hard. It's not that what's over here is hard. What's really hard is when I'm struggling against this to try to get what I want. And if I would just yield to this, this would be a whole lot easier. Yeah. So let faith drive. Don't let emotions drive. Don't let experience drive. Don't let reason drive. All y'all can ride in the back seat. But you got to let faith drive. Amen. All right, let's go to John 16. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me." Verse 33 is where our focus needs to be right here. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, because in this world you will have tribulation." I mean, some hard situations are coming your way. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. I overcome the world in a way that you may not see yet, in a way that you may not yet be experiencing. Because right now you might be in the midst of some crisis. Right now you might be in the midst of turmoil and hardship and need answers from the Lord, and you don't necessarily see a clear way through it. All right, let me give you point number two. Let circumstances, we said we letting faith drive, but number two we're saying let circumstances be God's tools. Okay, let circumstances be God's tools. Mark 11 has within it the title of this message. It says that Jesus answered them and said, "Have faith in God." That's our title for today. Have faith in God. Why don't you tell somebody that next to you? Have faith in God. Verse 23 says, "For assuredly, I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, then he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Luke, that's an important scripture, having faith in God. Let me take you to Luke, and we'll talk this through a little bit more. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. I know some people hate when I read this scripture, but I got to read it, because here it comes. "And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." So Jesus says to Peter, Satan's coming after you. He's getting ready to put you through the ringer. Okay, he's getting ready to basically put you in a meat grinder, in a wood chipper. I don't know, however, whatever it is that's getting ready to totally grind your life into smithereens. Satan wants to do it. And I'm praying for you, bro. This is what Jesus is saying to Peter. I am praying for you that you don't give up faith in me, that your faith doesn't fail, that you keep on trucking, that you keep forging ahead, and that you will allow what the enemy is bringing your way to be a tool in my hand to work something in you that positions you to receive what I have over here that you don't yet see. And if we don't understand that, we will look at our difficulties and our trials, our circumstances, and all of the difficult situations and crises that we're going through, and we will think either God has forsaken us or I've done something wrong or the enemy is somehow winning. And what God is trying to get us to do is listen, I see what you're going through, but don't let your faith fail. Because if your faith can hang in there, I'm going to take what the enemy meant for evil, use it to bring you to a place that's creating something in you that looks a little bit more like me, so that you can actually handle what's on the other side of this curtain. Now, why is that important as it relates to the antidote of thanksgiving and praise? Because faith is the substance. It's the placeholder of what we don't yet see, of what we are hoping for. Faith in me says, I can't see it here, but I know it's here. And if I have enough hope in me, that even though it's not here yet, if I have enough hope in me that says it is here though, what I can continue to do is lift my hands and give thanks and praise to God that keeps the bitterness and the envy and the jealousy and the resentment that the enemy wants to put in my heart that turns me against God. It keeps that out. So that even though all my eyes see are the difficulties, faith knows that there's something over here with my name on it, that God is only using these things to shape something in me to get me ready to go from here to here. But I need faith to believe. And if I let the circumstances and Satan wanted to grind my life up as wheat, if I let all of that distract me or short circuit my faith, I end up in a place of bitterness. And a lot of people have gone that route. A lot of people, and a lot of people are tempted, on the verge of it, right here somewhere. God, you better show me something. It's like Smooth Criminal. We right there, boy. We leaning, ready to just collapse. And we don't understand because we're too close to the situation. And if we don't step back and see what God is doing so that we can believe that God is good, so that we can believe that there is something over here that keeps my hope afloat. And even though I don't see it here yet, faith produces the hope that I need. It's the evidence in me that says it is something there. Even though my natural eyes can't see it yet. So God, I thank you and I praise you in the midst of these circumstances for what my faith knows is here, even though it's not here yet. So let's go to Romans 10. Well, I need that faith. I need that faith, Lord. I need to have that faith. You know what? I'm just going to reach into faith real quick. And amen. I drank that by faith. Romans 10:17, this is the Amplified version. And it says, so faith comes from hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message concerning Christ. So then faith comes by what I hear. I believe what I hear. Real faith in God comes, though, when I hear the word of God or the message of the gospel of Christ. Real faith that produces what's over here on this side comes to me when I hear the word of God. Not just what I hear, but when I hear specifically the word of God, the message of Christ and the cross preached. I believe then that God has a life for me over here that needs to be made manifest on this side. Here's the issue, though. And I'm going to go ahead and give you point number three so you can relate to this. Follow God's voice. Follow God's voice. Turn to somebody and just tell them, follow God's voice. Now, your situations, your circumstances, your hardships, all those things have a voice. They are telling you something. Okay? You have a voice. The enemy has a voice. God has a voice. Your friends and your family, your spouse, they have a voice. Your children have a voice. Your parents have a voice. Your employees and your employers, they all have a voice. Your neighbors have a voice. Your coworker, your supervisor, they all have a voice. And I believe that God is not concerned with how many voices are in your head. We might be on this side, but anyway, sorry. Shouldn't have gone there. I don't care. I don't believe God cares about how many voices are in your head or how many voices are in your ear. What God cares about more so than anything is which voice do you follow? So the news has a voice. Social media has a voice. The music of today, the movies of today, the television shows of today, the commercials of today, they all have a voice. And God does not care about you hearing every single one of those voices as long as you follow his. So Jesus says in John 10, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And a stranger's, they write that verse down, John 10. Just read the whole thing. You'll get it. It's good. It's delicious. My sheep know my voice. The sheep will know the voice of the shepherd. And when he calls out, those sheep know that shepherd's voice. Now, how do I know the shepherd's voice? Because I've spent time with the shepherd. There's no getting around that. If you're not spending time with the shepherd, you will not know his voice. And you will be following all kind of crazy voices. And those voices will not bring this life that God has for you into this world. It's only when you follow his voice that he leads you every step of the way, even when you misstep. Okay? Faith without works is dead. There's an obedient step that you need to take. So even if you get, you know, it's like you get so excited that you, oh, well, let me get this. Let me go ahead and do what God said to me. It's like, oh, wait, I wasn't supposed to do that yet. That's okay. Oh, it's okay. And God's got you saying, okay, you ready? Ready. Now go step. Okay, I'm stepping here. And I'm really excited. I got to wait for the next. Oh, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go. I just want to get. Not yet. Okay, wait. Okay, that's fine. Okay, I'm ready. I'm on step two, though. I'm excited. I'm on step two. I'm ready for step three. Oh, forget it. Let me just go. Oh, not yet. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was so excited. Now step three. Now? Yes. Okay, now. Okay, I'm in step three now. So God hasn't thrown you. God's plan of faith for your life. How does he say it? The gifts and the callings are without repentance. God's not taking his plan for your life off the table because you stepped over here when you were supposed to step over here. Because you got a little excited, like, oh boy, I can't wait to do this. Like, oh wait, okay, let me dial it down a little bit. You haven't wiped out your plan, the plan that God has for you. If you can just recalibrate your ear. To say, God, I've made some crazy decisions trying to make your plan come to pass for my life. Now I'm in some messy situations. And God's like, okay, just let's start from where you are. Let's just work you back over here. That's okay. It's okay, you got some missteps in there. It's okay. You got some, you know, few crazy times you got anxious. Couldn't wait for God to do what God wants you to do. God doesn't want you to do anything for him. He wants you to do everything with him. Can I say that one more time? We're not here trying to impress God. God doesn't need us to do anything for him. God wants us to do everything that he's called us to do with him. Amen. Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going to just build, you know, a promised land on our own. But if you don't go with us, we might as well just stay here and rot in the wilderness. So we follow your voice, God. We follow your voice. In spite of all the voices, well-intended voices, got no problem with the news, got no problem with social media, friends and family speaking into our lives. All of that is great, well-intended. They mean us good. They do not mean us harm. Now, the devil mean us harm. So we don't want to listen to his voice at all. But all of these other voices, listen, they have your best interest in heart. Maybe. Some of them, you know what I mean. My mind is going into place, and I just got to reel it back in. All right. So all of those things are well-intended, but God just says, hey, I got no problem with that. Just follow mine. I know what they're saying. I know what your mom wants for you. I know what your dad wants for you. But now you're an adult, and you got to hear me. I would be saying that with my college son sitting here, wouldn't I? That was not a plan, son. Bless you. but seriously, you got, it's like, hey, you got to hear me. You got to hear me. So let me close with this. Let at least close part one. It says in Hebrews 11, let's go back to Hebrews 11. We're going to go down to verse 17. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still, others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth. All of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Did not receive the promise. There are some things that we look to see manifested in our lives. And here were people who were treated in the worst of ways, lived under the worst conditions, believed God, and did not necessarily see all that was promised to them. Listen to how it concludes. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You know what I hear in that, at least, is that while God promised what he promised to them thousands of years ago, that promise didn't become fulfilled until we got here. So it's not like God is flaking on his promise, even though they didn't live to see it. But a lot of what God promised them has everything to do with how he's living in us. God's promise may not come to pass in your lifetime. Can you deal with that? Seriously, can you handle that? Because everybody can. When I look and see God, they pray, they got their blessing. Can we handle that? God, you got something in my life that you promised through me. But can I handle it if I don't live to see it? Do I somehow get to say now that you're not good because it didn't happen in my lifetime? Now, listen, I'm just saying that there are people in the Bible who are written about that experience this. I'm not telling you that God's getting ready to make you suffer through something and not bring you to the conclusion of what he promised you. What I'm saying to you is simply this. It is more important for us to please God with our faith than it is for God to please us with the fulfillment of his promise. It is more important that we please God with our faith than it is that he pleases us with the fulfillment of his promise. That's not to say that he's not going to fulfill his promise for you in this lifetime, in your lifetime. The Bible does not say that without fulfilled promises, it's impossible to please God. He says without faith, it's impossible to please him. And they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My job is not to be concerned with what God provides. My job is to diligently seek him. My job is not to concern myself with how God fulfills his promise or when. My job is to have faith, to believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder to me when I diligently seek him. Amen. Hope that doesn't confuse you. I hope that really, what I really hope is that it helps for all of us, it helps us to reprioritize how we entreat God and based on the fulfillment of promises or the manifestation of blessing or the manifestation of miracles and breakthroughs and so forth. It's more important for me to believe God because if this never comes over here, I still have to believe that not only is it over here, but I also have to believe that if God doesn't bring it to this side, he's still good. And if I can keep believing that God is still good, I can keep my hands raised. I can keep my hands raised in the midst of circumstances. I can keep my hands raised and my voice singing out to God of how good he is if I never see this come over here. Therefore, while we talk about love being unconditional, my faith has to be just as unconditional with God. I cannot allow circumstances to be the what if when it comes to my faith in God. I feel like this is disturbing some of us. What we really have to reprioritize is that I'm made for God and not the other way around. That's what I really have to reprioritize. It's him, is that I was made for God. And it is him that wills to do of his good pleasure. Thank you. Of his good pleasure. It's still all about him. Yeah. Remember that song, nice little while ago? It's all about you. It's still about him. That hasn't really changed. Yeah, it's still about him. All right. I'm rambling because I really want you to get this. Not rambling because stretching for time. I'm rambling because I want you to get this so bad. Because I really believe it will change the dynamics of how we relate to God when we recognize that God owes us nothing. And the very thing that he promised us, he may have given to us as a promise, but it may not come to pass until another 100 years. And somewhere in my faith, I've got to be okay with that. Somewhere in my relationship with God, I've got to be okay with that. Amen. So, turn to your neighbor and say, are you okay? You know what I want to say. Are you okay? Amen. Are you okay with that? Is it okay if God does what he wants to do? Is that okay with you? Does he have our permission? Teasing you a little bit there, but that's what it really comes down to. It's like, God, wait a minute now. I forgot. Because I've been listening to all these other voices that tell me what I can have, what I should have, what I got a right to, and all of that. What I'm entitled to, what's mine. What I need to be fighting for. I'm listening to all these voices, and I keep forgetting, God, this stuff is all yours. And so am I. It's all yours. And so am I. So help me to, because see, it's not that God necessarily wants to change the stuff that you have or the blessing that you have coming. He just wants to change something in our thinking. So let's turn this around here. Remember who was made for who. That's all. I don't want to empty your bank account, make you sell your house, and give all your stuff away. I just want you to remember who gave you the stuff in the first place. Because the reality is, I got a whole lot more for you on this side. Just waiting to come over here. I just need you to believe. I just need you to have faith and listen to me. Follow my voice. So that whether or not I bring this over on this side of your existence, I just want you to be able to give thanks and praise to me. So that your heart can have the peace and the contentment that I have for you. If you never see the stuff manifest. Because I can make anything manifest. I don't really need your faith to do it. I got my own faith. By faith, the worlds were spoken into existence. I got my own faith now. If I just want to do it, I can do it. But there's something that I'm trying to work inside of you that I want you to experience. I know sometimes it's hardship, but I actually want you to enjoy. I'm rambling again. But I just want us to get it. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. It's enough rambling. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come, but before they come, I just want to share in some more worship unto the Lord. Something we sang earlier today. I want to just reiterate that God, I believe you. I believe you. I believe that I'm going to see what you're doing, whether it's on this side or this side. I believe it. Y'all ready to sing about it? I'm gonna let you do what you do. Go ahead. Feel something in your heart saying, Pastor Doug, I don't think I like you anymore. I want you to come on up and pray. Yeah. Amen. Okay, I shouldn't tease with that. Because I know this is real stuff, man. And you know, I'm teasing with you a little bit. But I know it's hard stuff. It's like, wait a minute. You mean I could go through this life and not see the promise? Yeah, some did. And can I tell you, they were happy to do it. Wow. See, that I don't get. Or maybe not happy, I don't know. But they were willing. And it didn't matter. And I need that kind of faith. I don't know about you, I need that kind of faith. I need that kind of faith. And that's what I want to pray for us today. If you're in need of that kind of faith, you just come on now. If you're struggling with, that's hard. That's a hard place for me, Pastor. I'm gonna need some faith for that. Can I just tell you, I'm right there with you. I am right there with you. I've preached it with all the strength and might that I possibly could muster, with every antic that I could possibly summon. And listen, I'm right there with you. That God, if you put me in certain situations, I wanna at least think that I got enough faith to just keep making it through. But something in me tells me, God, in some situations, I'm just gonna need an extra dose. And some of you may already be in that situation. It says, I need an extra dose of faith. If I'm gonna keep giving thanks and praise to God, And keep this bitterness and jealousy and envy out of my heart, God, I'm going to need you to just give me an extra dose of faith right now to be a bridge over these hurts, to be a bridge over these difficulties that lead me to a place of thanksgiving and praise. And if that's you today, whether you come down or not, I just want to pray for you right now. Amen. Father, we have seen you move mountains. And a lot of times we've seen you do it in the lives of other people. And I believe that I'm going to see you do it again. Even if I don't see you do it in my life. Even if I don't see you do it in my lifetime. I believe that you're going to do it. But Lord, I commit every mountain that's in my way And you said that if I had faith and would not doubt, I could speak to that mountain and tell it to be removed and cast into the sea. Then, Lord, I'm going to speak to it by faith and I'm not going to doubt. And I don't care how long it takes to uproot. I don't care how long it takes to shake and crumble to the ground. I believe. Right now, I believe. I believe you, Lord. I believe you. And I'm going to give you thanks and praise now. And I refuse to let resentment, jealousy, resentment, and anger, and unforgiveness be rooted in my heart and turn me away from God to make me believe that God is not good. I say it right now, full of faith. God, you are good. Say that with me today. God, you are good. God, you are good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The highest praise I give to you, Lord, because you are good. And for where I fail, Lord God, in my faith, Lord, I believe that just like Peter, you're praying that my faith will not fail. Strengthen my faith today, Lord. Strengthen my faith today. Help me in the places where I'm having trouble believing. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief today, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can we sing that one more time? Yeah, let's sing that one more time. Can you guys sing that with us one more time? Presence of God until something you know something is shifted, something is broken, and something of God is pressed and made its way through in your heart and in your mind. I'm just letting you know that we're here today to help you to do that. So if you're in need of prayer, we invite you to come. But more so than that, if you're in need of salvation today, we want to invite you to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ and receive Him today as your Lord and Savior. You can come and do that with any one of our prayer team members that's here this morning. Amen. Let's lift our hands one more time. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you, Lord God, for every blessing that has our name on it. We walk by faith today, not by sight. And through faith, Lord God, we believe that there's a life that you have with our name on it. Even if we never see it on this side of earth, even if we never see it on this side of heaven, Father, we believe. We trust you. And we have faith, Lord, to take every step that you call us to take. We believe you, Lord. We trust you for every promise, Lord, that you've spoken to come to pass, whether in this life or the next. We trust you, Lord. And we leave all of those decisions up to you. And we're determined to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're determined to believe today, Lord. Fill our hearts with faith, Lord. And where we have doubt, Lord, help our unbelief today. Fill our hearts full of faith today, Lord, that we might believe in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you're in need of prayer, we invite you to come. If you just want to spend some time in the presence of God, we invite you to come. Hug a few people before you go. We'll see you next time. God bless you.